There you go. We'll call this meeting to order. I can call this meeting in order at this time. I also would like to ask as a courtesy to all that you ensure that you've turned out your cell phones off your cell phones and pagers. Each director received notice of this board meeting. Public meeting notice of properly posted as required by law. Directors P.J. Ellison, Fred Lee Hughes, and Jacqueline Chaumette indicated that they would not be present for this meeting. At this time, I would like to welcome Mrs. Kingsbury Otto, General Counsel and Subcommittee Clerk for the Senate Natural Resources Committee. There you are, Ms. Otto. Ms. Otto is here representing Senator Craig Estes. Welcome, Ms. Kingsbury. We also have two new staff members to introduce. Phil Ford will introduce them.
Mr. Chairman, directors, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce our two of our new staff members. A staff attorney, Riley Woods, hails from Norman, Oklahoma. We had to get over that before we hired him. His wife, Rachel, lives here in town. Riley is an undergraduate of Baylor University and attended West Point. And he just recently, as of last Friday, received his law degree from Baylor Law School. So, Riley, welcome. Matt Phillips was born in Tomball, Texas.
My hometown.
And he grew up in Marquay, which holds the title of being the Gateway to Limestone, for those of you who didn't know that. He attended Leon High School, and then as an intern from 96 to 2000, he worked as an intern over at Lake Limestone for our guys over there. So welcome back, Matt. He recently graduated from the University of Texas, like in 02, and he's been involved in combat down in Austin. He's been a staffer for Senator Steve Ogden. So he had a smile on his face when he walked in this morning. So welcome aboard, guys.
Thank you, Phil. Item 4 is to hear comments from members of the public. This time, we have set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments here should fill out one of the cards provided at the table outside the door of the boardroom with your names and contact information on it. We encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts. Be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the board cannot deliberate or discuss issues that are not posted on the meeting notice. That is not our requirement, it's state law. The board is limited in its ability to participate in discussions and deliberations by the provisions of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act authorizes a government body to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting and provide comments. However, the board may not deliberate or act on any agenda or any matters which have not been specifically posted on the agenda. In an effort to provide everyone an opportunity to speak, we request that each presentation be limited to 3 minutes each, please. We have some cards that have been given to us. The first card is Mayor David Southern, the City of Granbury. Mayor Southern.
I'm here to speak on number 4 and number 5, and just got this morning a copy of your management recommendations for Lake Granbury. And we certainly concur in those recommendations. I mainly want to talk about the first recommendation, which is resolution necessary to address existing conflict of bug traffic, economic development, and environmental concerns. We don't believe there's a real bug safety issue on Lake Granbury. We think the crowding, as evidenced from your own survey, indicated that the majority of people don't believe the lake is crowded with boating traffic. I have a home on the lake and a boat dock, and I can tell you that most of those folks who have boat docks on the lake use the lake during the week rather than the weekend, because the only time we ever have any crowding at all is on the weekend, and that's between the two bridges on the lake, the Pearl Street Business 377 bridge and the bridge down to the south, and there's really not any crowding except during that era of the bridge over 340, I guess it's 377, the Main Street is the other bridge. That's about the only area we have crowding in from time to time. And it's because there are two boat ramps that feed into that area. We've just constructed a new boat ramp to replace the boat ramp that's been on Pearl Street. We moved it to the other side of Pearl Street down by the Pearl Street Bridge, and it'll be opening on Tuesday. We have a ribbon cutting on Tuesday at noon. If any of you can come to that, we'd be more than welcome to have you. We have no admission charge for those boat ramps, any of your boat ramps or this one that the City of Granbury owns. And if crowding does become a problem, we would suggest rather than limiting the number of docks on the lake who do already pay a fee to be on the lake, that you require some sort of admission sticker or something. Like, I know the Lower Colorado River Authority has an admission sticker for most of their lakes that you pay on an annual basis. So if you want to limit traffic on the lake, I think that would be a better way to do it than by restricting additional boat facilities. In addition to that, we are supportive of new canals on the lake. There's been a moratorium in place on new canals on the lake. We do believe they should be required to be on the sanitary sewer system, preferably ours. One thing that we find when new developments come in, they extend our sanitary sewer services, which make them available for older areas of the lake as they're extended to become available for some of the canals that you have. Most of the problems where you have an E. coli issue have been on natural creek beds into the lake anyway. They really haven't been on the canals specifically. Where they have been on a canal that's been constructed, it's been really in reference to a canal that is not on a sanitary sewer service. We would certainly be willing to work with you on providing sanitary sewer services to those canals. But we don't think restricting new canals on the lake is the way to go, because the economic development that that provides will help extend the sanitary sewer to all parts of the lake, which is, of course, needed. When Lake Granbury was built and most of the developments were built there in the early days, there was no requirement for that, and we certainly would support you requiring sanitary sewer services on any new canals and would help see that those services could be provided. But we don't want any kind of economic restriction on the development of new canals on the lake with those provisions. And we're ready to work with you in any way possible. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those. And I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, Mayor Southern. Next is Mr. Tim Hester, Gaines Bend. Hester.
Good morning. I'm here representing the Gaines Bend Marina Project at Possum Kingdom Lake. I've got several comments on the Possum Kingdom boatload study I'd like to make. The first comment is map B, which is the primary map. I believe that the support for that map isn't very strong. The reason I say that is the map was justified because there was a perception the lake was down 25% in 05 versus 04. That perception came from two independent sources. One was BRA public use headcounts, as well as the state park data. The issue in 05 at Possum Kingdom Lake was Memorial Day was rained out, basically. When you look at that data and you take Memorial Day out, the BRA public use headcounts are actually up in 05 over 04, and the state park data is flat. The reason that there's also additional problems with the data is there's only a couple days that are counted in June and July. Basically, what happened is Memorial Day was rained out, and most of the businesses in attendance was able to recover in June and July. You don't see that because there's only a few days that were actually counted in that data. I also looked at additional data to try and support this one way or the other. The additional independent sources that I looked at was sales tax for Q2, Q3, which is basically the zip code 76449, which represents most of the lake. Gallons of gas sold in the two major marinas, hotel bookings at the lake, and retail sales. None of this suggested the lake was down at all. If anything, slightly up or flat over the prior year. Therefore, I'm hoping reconsideration will be given for using Map A, which was the actual count, or looking at additional independent sources to see what you think in terms of if there's support for Map B. If you use Map B, there are two issues with Map B that I see. First is July 3rd is weighted 25%. What actually happens is when you weight July 3rd, which is the busiest day of the year, by 25%, it actually increases the average number of boats on the lake by 72%. Map A has an average of 217 boats on the lake. When you add July 3rd, 25% weighting, it goes up to 372, which is an increase of 72%. Also, July 3rd is the busiest day of the year, and therefore people go to Possum Kingdom Lake, they tie up, they hang out in the coves for the most part, and those areas in terms of the Map B are actually skewed because of that day and the weighting. So I'm hoping that if you do use Map B, you look at reducing the weighting or a growth adjustment versus July 3rd. And finally, the study recommendations, just a few comments. They don't appear, at least in my opinion, to be correlated to the study. The lake is not that crowded, as evidenced by the data that was collected and the survey perceptions, which said 66% of the people felt it wasn't crowded at all, and another 19% only somewhat crowded. Also, it should be noted that the coves are the logical places to put new marinas because of the protection of the weather. And there should be some consideration given to that when you look at these categories, because most coves that could hold a marina are actually yellow or orange, which means they are recommending no development. So in closing, I hope the workshop can find a more balanced position to address future overcrowding that doesn't stifle private development that requires on-water facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Esther. Next is a gentleman, Mr. Jeff Henron. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Jeff Henrion. I'm the second generation owner of Possum Kingdom Lake. I've been there almost 30 years. I've got three kids, and I hope to pass my place on to them. I've been in the commercial real estate business for almost 20 years, and I've been involved in many land leases. I want to address three issues today: the qualifications of the sell-by team, market valuation analysis, and lease rate analysis. It's amazing to me that the Starbucks company can miss so badly. There's a real world approach to this. Starbucks company does not have the expertise in land development business or residential analysis. Starbucks company did not assemble a team qualified to make these types of analysis. Karen Wilson represents tenants to find office space or dispose of office space. Roscoe Van Zandt came from a small industrial company to the Starbucks company to work on this account. Bruce Brown is also an office guy with expertise in that arena. Land leases are not used in office and industrial uses. It is evident that they do not understand land leases based on this proposal. Fair market value is not even a term used by MII appraisers. They call it market valuation. Let me give you a definition of market valuation. The price at which a property is sold between a willing seller and a willing buyer, each of whom has reasonable knowledge of the pertinent facts and neither being under any compulsion to buy or sell. Starbucks company wants to appraise the land at Lake as if it was selling for a fee simple basis. Last I checked, they're still proposing land leases. It's reasonable knowledge and neither being under any compulsion. Most of the lake homeowners do not have all the knowledge of the negative financial implications that they're exposed to by entering into this one-sided lease agreement. Homeowners are not even excuse me, the homeowners are not entering into this lease agreement willingly, and they are under great compulsion to do so. The compulsion is to protect our existing homes. There are different market valuations for tract land based on how it is conveyed. In this case, land is forced to be renewed at lease rates that are open to enormous increases. Every land lease that I've ever been involved with started at agreed to value and had limited increases over approximately every 5 years, minimum terms at least 3 years. And these are for commercial uses that generate income and have useful life next to the building. This is very rare for a house to be built on a land lease. Basically, it doesn't make financial sense. But this is the situation we're all in. The lease rate analysis. When I read their lease rate proposal, all I could think of is that Sawa Company thought our homes at PK were office buildings. They're not. So I did some financial analysis of what they're proposing, and here are a couple highlights. Using their numbers for a lot that would appraise for $200,000 today under their fee simple analysis. Using their 6% annual increases, the land would equate to a 16% annual increase in land value over 30 years because of compounding. Very big increases. Using their formula on new lease rates, you'd be paying the lease rate, and this is on $200,000 appraised lot value in today's terms. You'd be paying lease rates on average of $16,229 over the 30-year life of the term. I can't afford that. In their own report, they say that these lease rate examples are on the low side. So I'm curious why they're using the low side. What if the land values increased by 10% per year using their system? That same $200,000 fee simple valued lot would have lease rate on average over a 30-year period would be $37,310. The Staubach Company says homeowners can't afford to buy the land. Well, if the Staubach Company proposed lease rates, but the Staubach Company proposed lease rates over a 30-year period are much more than buying the land would ever be. The Staubach Company says the BRA would lose any long-term value realization if they sell the land to the homeowners. This is another amazing example to me on how much this team missed the report. The BRA would have much greater return if they invested their proceeds if they sold the land. Using the Staubach Company's numbers, if the BRA invested $100 million from the sale of land and achieved a 10% return, which is quite modest for a business, they would have over $2 billion in assets in 30 years from now. If the BRA pulled out the same amount of cash each year to replace the same lost revenue in the unrealistic Staubach approach, the BRA would still have more than $800 million for an annual return of over 24% on their original $100 million.
Mr. Hanron, is this going to take much longer?
In conclusion, Staubach Company is not correctly approaching the valuation of land. Staubach Company is not correctly structuring the lease increases. The Staubach Company is not correctly structuring the lease term. Ms. Wilson proposed to her best client, Burlington North, enter in the same type of lease agreement. I suspect Roger would either ask her to step down from the account or maybe remove her from the company. I know the BRA is tired of this subject, and the board needs to take a step back and reevaluate this proposal with real input into taking into account these financial situations. If the Staubach Company proposal is implemented, there will be a lot more years of headache to come.
Thank you, Mr. Hanron. Jim Littlefield.
Guess what I want to talk on? do want to discuss additionally the lease requirements and the lease recommendations by the Starbuck Company. And first of all, I'd like to compliment them on two points that they made in their recommendations. One of them is they recognized there would be a severe impact on the lessees, the Pasadena life, should they implement this full recommended percent increase in lease rates. That I was very pleased to see that they did. Secondly, they realized that we need some kind of stability and some kind of knowledge of where we're going from here with the lease rates so that we can plan accordingly. The Starbuck Company in general recommended a progressive increase in lease rates from about 1.05% based on what they term fair market value up to 3.9%. Now, looking at that, if in the first year the 1.05% is very reasonable, in my opinion, the next 5 years, which would be 2017, I believe, the lease rate increases to something like 1.6%, which results in, when you add in the taxes that you have to pay, something like a 3.6%. Now, that's getting rather extreme. If I took that point and looked at the 14 properties in my area, and in my area, we have a significant investment in the land, in the leases, that would be a 3.15% lease rate for us in 2017, which is extreme when you look at the local Metroplex Lakes, and the highest one that had any comparison with PK Lake was 2.6%. Now, from there on, it gets really extreme. In my opinion, there's no way I could sign up for a long-term lease, like 20 years, like the Starbuck Company had proposed, with those huge increases in lease rates as we proceed down the line. Now, in proposing that we sign up for long-term lease rates, they have used the carrot and the stick approach. The carrot is we'll give you low lease rates to start with and then high lease rates in the upcoming years. The problem is the stick that goes along with it. The stick is that if we don't sign up for that, we're going to be hit with this full 3% lease rate immediately. That, to me, is a real concern to me. I might be able to sign up for the 10 years. It would be a hardship on the next 5 years. But I could not, in good conscience, ever agree to signing up for something like 20 years. The other problem and big concern that I have is the Starbucks Company's recommendation that when we resell the land, that it would be to anyone who bought it, they would have to pay the highest lease rate, which in this case would be something between 3 and 6%. That, to me, is a killer as far as trying to sell the land and if I was forced to sell it. I'm retired. I have a fixed income. So anything after about 10 years is I don't believe I could handle that. And that way they're proposing I couldn't even sell it. So those are my main concerns. The other one is they propose an appraised value for all of the leases. In other words, they're going to take the land and appraise it. Then we're going to get into this situation where I have to hire an appraiser to see if I agree with their appraiser. And it could just go, to me, be a big barrel of worms. If we use appraises, I'd recommend we use the fair market value. Appraise value. In conclusion, in summary, any lease rates, in my concern, of greater than 1% are progressively more severe. The 3% accelerated rate, if I don't sign up for a long-term lease, is to me a real concern. the 3% lease resale rate, to me, is a concern. And using the county appraisal values, to me, seems like the way to go. And I thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Littlefield. Mr. Jay Turner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and directors. I've spoken to you many times before. As you know, I'll definitely try to keep this at your three-minute level. On April the 28th, I wrote an email to Chairman Pena and to Wade Gear and to Martha Martin, and I enclosed along with that email a letter that I had written called One Lessee's Opinion on Lease Rates, and that's been published in part in the Lake Country Sun. The full version can be seen on the Possum Kingdom Lake Association website. It's only 3.5 pages long. If any of the directors would like a copy, I brought some today. But in my transmittal letter to them, I said, knowing that everyone is anxious to bring this matter to a conclusion, and I'm speaking specifically about the lease rates, is my hope that every single possibility is examined that would be mutually beneficial to the BRA and to the current leaseholders. I would hate for the anxiety of getting this matter concluded to overshadow the fact that the Staubach Company has had a year to come up with their recommendation, and the leaseholders have had less than 1 month to digest and begin to respond. So basically what I'm here today to ask you to consider this afternoon in your discussions is to give the leaseholders a little more time to respond and digest. I would submit to you that the leaseholders are becoming more and more informed, and there are some people that I have personally talked to who are willing to commit substantial sums of money to fund their own study only on this specific issue of the impact of the lease rates on Possum Kingdom and to try to come up with a fair and equitable method. So I would ask you to invite the leaseholders to the table more than just 3 minutes at the beginning of a meeting so that we can have some honest deliberations with you. And I would like to commend Steve Pena and Wade Gear and Martha Martin. You're the three board members that I know the most. I've met with you personally. I've talked to you on the phone, and you've always been very cordial and professional to me, and I appreciate that. One other thing, and Phil, just remind me if I get over 3 minutes, but there's another attorney that I've met to or met and talked to that has 30 years' experience in commercial real estate in the Dallas area. He brings up a terrific point in an email that I know you've seen, Wade, and I think some of the others may have seen as well. But that's the unintended consequences of policy decisions that may be made. And he points out in very clear detail an unintended consequence of the Staubach's recommendation on the lease proposals. And basically where there are unknown variables that a financial institution will not be able to reasonably and prudently make a loan on properties at Possum Kingdom Lake, where it is impossible to determine what the full financial impact would be on a borrower. I would love to read his letter to you. It's very short, but I won't take your time here today. I have copies of it. If I may give it to you later during a break, I will circulate that to you. And it simply points out an unintended consequence of this action. These are the things I would like to talk to you about in more than a three-minute session. So I'll be around during the break to give this to you, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Marla Custard from Set Ranch.
I am Marla Custard, and I'm one of the owners of Set Ranch. And first off, I wanted to say to the board that we appreciate so much the earnest effort and long hours and hard work that you all put in to resolve the really complex issues that seem to be about Possum Kingdom Lake. Uh, As you all are about to deliberate and consider the recommendations of the Staubach Company, I would ask that you all please... Sorry. I would ask that you all please keep in mind the additional resources that are going to be required to enforce the recommendations that they make. And I urge you all to support your staff and what they need. I urge you all to keep in mind that there is a portion of the lake which is not accessible by land. It's the Hog Bend area, and it's adjacent to our ranch, and that there are specific needs and requirements for that area that I think are above and beyond the other parts of the lake, being that it is not land accessible. In our past review of documents, we've run across a lot of instances where the BRA has made citations but had, I guess, difficulty or have not followed through with the enforcement of those infractions. And so it seems worrisome that as you all are about to acquire additional responsibilities, that you all have the necessary resources to enforce this. We are trying to be good neighbors and have provided, we have an arrangement with the PK Fire Association to deal with fires, and we have an arrangement for access for the fire department to access the Hog Bend area in case of emergencies. But something else to ask you all to keep in mind is that we don't really have an infrastructure in our ranch that can guarantee direct access to that area. And it has become particularly noticeable to me in the last few weeks as we've had these incredible rains out there. I don't know if you all have been up to the lake lately, but the rains have been incredible, thank God, for the rain. But most of our roads are not passable right now. They're just a quagmire of mud, and you know, in the event of some kind of fire or lightning strike, or it's a season where people are burning brush, you know, if something like that arose, it's really frightening to think about the issues that would impede the fire department being able to access that area. So as you are considering adopting these recommendations, I hope you all also give some really serious consideration to what the needs of that area are, and like I said, we try to do our part, but there are things that just are not, you know, not part of our infrastructure. So I guess just respectfully request that you all consider something like a fire boat or additional resources for that area. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Custard.